Om Agyana Chinirandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chaksadu Nanitam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Nama Nama Om Vishnu Tadaya Krishna Tisaya Bhutale Simate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nidhi Namine. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Vacharine Nirvishesha Sanyavadi Paschatya Dashatarine. Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Adaita Gadadha Srila Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Jayo Jayo Sri Chaitanya Jayo Nityananda. Jayo Jayo Sri Chaitanya Jayo Nityananda. Jayo Jayo Sri Chaitanya Jayo Nityananda. Jaya Jaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Maha Karoti Vachala Mankulangai Tegini Yat Kitha Chavang Vande Sri Guru Nityananda Paramananda Madhavam Sri Chaitanya Israel.
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th Canto, Chapter 14, Text Number 38. The chapter is entitled The Forest of Enjoyment. It's a long prose verse, so we'll read the verse and then go on to the translation and purport. Text Number 38. Etasmin saṃsaradhvāni nāna kleśo pasarga bhādita āpāna vipāno yatra yasvan Uha vavetaras tatra visrija jatam jatam upadaya sochan muhyan vibhya vivadan kandan sangrishan gayan nanyamana saruvarjito naivavarte dhyapi yatta arabdha esha naraloka sartoyam advana param upadishanti. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The path of this material world is full of material miseries, and various troubles disturb the conditioned souls. Sometimes he loses, and sometimes he gains. In either case, the path is full of danger. Sometimes the conditioned soul is separated from his father by death or other circumstances. Leaving him aside, he gradually becomes attached to others, such as his children. In this way, the conditioned soul is sometimes illusioned and afraid. Sometimes he cries loudly out of fear. Sometimes he is happy maintaining his family. And sometimes he is overjoyed and sings melodiously. In this way, he becomes entangled and forgets his separation from the Supreme Personality of Godhead since time immemorial. Thus, he traverses the dangerous path of material existence, and on this path, he is not at all happy. Those who are self-realized simply take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in order to get out of this dangerous material existence. Without accepting the devotional path, one cannot get out of the clutches of material existence. The conclusion is that no one can be happy in material life. One must take to Krishna consciousness. Purport. By thoroughly analyzing the materialistic way of life, any sane man can understand that there is not the least happiness in this world. However, due to continuing on the path of danger from time immemorial, and not associating with saintly persons, the conditioned soul, under illusion, wants to enjoy this material world. Material energy sometimes gives him a chance at so-called happiness, but the conditioned soul is perpetually being punished by material nature. It is therefore said, Tandya jane raja yena narite kubhaya. Chaitanya Charitamritam Adilila 21:18. Materialistic life means continuous unhappiness, but sometimes we accept happiness as it appears between the gaps. Sometimes a condemned person is submerged in water and hauled out. Actually, all of this is meant for punishment, but he feels a little comfort when he is taken out of the water. This is the situation with the conditioned soul. All the shastras therefore advise that one associate with devotees and saintly people. Sarusanga sarusanga sarva shastra koi avamatra sarusanga sarva siddhi hai Chaitanya Charitamritam Adilila 22:54. Even by a little association with devotees, the conditioned soul can get out of this miserable material condition. This Krishna consciousness movement is therefore trying to give everyone a chance to associate with saintly people. Therefore, all the members of this Krishna consciousness society must themselves be perfect sadhus in order to give a chance to fallen conditioned souls. This is the best humanitarian work. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
I was told by Gaura Chandradas that for like the weaker kidneys ahead of the I go pretty well there. Every day was about the different, in the morning, the Prabhupada disciples would read the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Anyway, so I don't mind if others give class, I think, on the weekend when I give class. But we'll work out these details. So this verse today on the Srimad Bhagavatam, I'm always reminded how the Bhagavatam and how Prabhupada, like they say in America, walk the walk, talk the talk, or they say, tell like it is. So he really shoots direct. He tells it like it is. This is the material world. You think you have the little characters dangling in front of you. You get some momentary happiness, and then you get something, and something, and something. And it reminds me of that. I know maybe how many years ago, but some years ago, I heard about when they do these polls in America. So they did a poll that now I think at that time it was about 50% didn't divorce and 50% divorced. So, okay, they figured the divorced people, they weren't happy, so they divorced. Why didn't you divorce? They did the poll. And so, I forget the exact percentage, but it was like 90% said they weren't happy, but they stayed together because of economics or religion or kids, or they lived together, it was cheaper, but they didn't like each other anymore. So, and then 10% said they were happy. The other 90 said, they're lying. It was interesting. So, of course, those are the materialists. But as devotees, we don't look to the material world to give us happiness. We look to Krishna to give. We want Krishna conscious happiness. And material happiness, we know that sometimes we'll be happy and sometimes we'll be sad. Asitoshna sukha dukkada. That sometimes it's like winter, sometimes like summer. So sometimes we will suffer, or sometimes we'll enjoy. We shouldn't take the suffering to be the end of it all. We shouldn't take the happiness to be the goal of life, or that it's something permanent. These things come and they go. sometimes you'll be happy, sometimes you'll be sad. This is all superficial. We want to really to experience love of Krishna. We want to experience the bhava, the ecstasy of Krishna consciousness. This is our goal. And practically, the devotees, they are experiencing this. So Lord Chaitanya, he came with that special message. Especially in Kali Yuga, the happiness is very reduced. Something is wrong. Even the so-called happy people, the rich people, they're also, they suffer a lot. We heard how people might have thought, well, Michael Jackson, he was very rich, he was happy. We heard he died with $400 million debt. So he must have had the creditors after him. He died in his stomach. They found a few pills and no food. So he was in so much anxiety, he was just taking pills and not eating. And it speaks for itself. So how many people are really healthy? That's the question. But everybody in the material world thinks that I will be healthy. In America, this constitution is made that we have the freedom of our pursuit of happiness. They don't say be healthy, they say pursue it. You see, so that means we also have a right. We want to pursue happiness through Krishna consciousness. Now, once Lord Chaitanya was cursed by one Ravana, he was cursed. You will never enjoy material happiness. And Lord Chaitanya, Haribol, he thought he gave the worst curse he could. You'll never be material happy. I said, I don't want material happiness. I want spiritual happiness. So, this was Lord Chaitanya's very special message that he came down to give us our Krishna consciousness. And so, I heard that Lokanath Maharaj and Bhakti Dhruva Maharaj and others, they've taken the Bhikkhava out. This is the first time in 37, 38 years that I didn't attend the Bhikkhava. Even last year, even though I was sick, I went for 3 days. I couldn't stay away because I was in India. But here I am. I was ordered by the GBC, got a stake. Yeah, take your treatment. And thanks to Salas Prabhu, I'm still here, so he tolerates me, I don't know how. We heard that yesterday they went to the Madhyam Dweep. Madhyam Dweep, most of the places are there, were hidden. And we researched and we discovered where the places are. In Rajendri, there's Suvarna Vihar. There's Hansa Bahan. There's Nainasharanya. There's Puskar Tirtha. And there's Kurukshetra. And there's Panchadeni. So all these places, Saptatila, are in the Madhyam Dweep. So we know that the Nainasharani is the hub of the universe. That they're the somewhere in Yuti, they design the universe with the Halas Nainasharanya. And any sacrifices done there are very potent for purifying the world. So the non-different Nainasharanya, all the holy downs, have gone to Mayapur and then down because they want to be in the holy down. So there is the duplicate holy downs in all these places and a few special ones. So Nainasharanya is there also in Navadvip Dham. It's there in Madhyam Dweep. So Madhyam Dweep is the deep that is non-different from each of the nine islands are connected to one of the nine processes of devotional service. So that is connected to the process of smaranam, of remembering the Lord. So there, Sukadeva Swami was telling the Gaura Bhagavat at Nainasharanya. which is by the Goldwati River. When Lord Shiva heard that, Gaura Bhagavat is being told on the earth planet, I want to hear that. So he got on his Nandi, his bull, and he said, go, 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 go. But Nandi, tends to go a bit slow. So he got to Satyaloka. He asked Brahma, can I draw your hamsa? I want to get there quick, because earth planet, the time goes real quick. So he said, okay, take your hamsa. So he left his Nandi at the Satyaloka. He took the hamsa. So all the sages, when they saw the Brahma's hamsa arriving, they stood up. They thought, oh, Lord Brahma has come. Om Namo Brahmaya, whatever. So they were surprised to see it was not Lord Brahma, it was Shiva. So, Om Namo Shivaya. So they welcomed Shiva and he listened to the Gaura Bhagavat. So since that time, they've had a deity called the Hamsa Vahan. It's the deity of Shiva and the Hamsa. So earlier we go, we see the Shiva deity and the Hamsa. And we also go to Nainasharanya. And there all the different devotees, they read the slokas from the Bhagavatam, the Bhagavad Gita, and they chant to purify the whole world. So I hope you felt purified yesterday. One year, we went to the Hamsa Vahan. In those years, the deity would only be out for 11 days. And during the time of the Parikrama, we won't see the deity. Since then, the deity was stolen and recovered. So the police said, you have to keep the deity out of the water all year round, locked up, protected. Otherwise, we can't protect it if you leave it to some river. So, in that year, we went when the deity was out of the water, and he came out to Pujari and said, no chanting, no disturbance. We want focus on our Shiva Puja. So, we just chant Jalnut. But you see, they put one flower, a special kind of flower, under the water and on the back of Lord Shiva. So this flower, when the water dropped and hit, if Shiva was giving his blessing, the flower would pop open and shoot up. If he was not giving the blessing, it would fall over. So once they told us to stop the kirtan, no blessings were coming. Then Pujari came, okay, sorry. Please, do kirtan. Unless you do kirtan, Shiva doesn't give any blessings. So he started doing kirtan again. Shiva was getting blessings. So he said, okay, come in. You're welcome. So he came in and he offered our milk and our Pushkar Tirtha water and different Ganges water to the deity, and we prayed for bhakti, because we know that Shiva is Vaishnavanam Chata Sandhu. He is the greatest of all the Vaishnavas. So he wanted to get bhakti to Krishna. So he prayed to him for bhakti, for such things, and I don't know, of course, what the devotees prayed for, but that's what I prayed for. So, like that. So we have some relationship with the different deities around. So somehow he liked the devotees to chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Since then, on two or three occasions, they brought Lord Srila over to the Ninth Lord, and the devotees, they offered a puja, offered a lot of donations. So that might have inspired them, I don't know. There were some who were complaining, no, no, you shouldn't bring the deity all over. But others, they prevailed and they brought over. So we had also in Mayanthra, a good fortune to see the deities and serve them. So now we're still looking for the Satta Tila, Satta Rishi Tilas. Tila is a small hillock. We're thinking maybe we look like Google. We'll find seven hills. But we don't find them. And we don't, we didn't find anyone who knew. But at Pushkar Tirtha, we found one old sadhu. He said he went with Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And they found the Pushkar Tirtha. So there it said that there was a lake. And one sadhu, he was, one Ramana, he was traveling and visiting all the holy places. So he came to Navadi. But he wanted to visit Pushkar Tirtha because he heard that Pushkar was the most sacred, the Tirtha Raj, the king of Tirthas. So at the end of his life, he decided, I'll go down to see Pushkar Tirtha. But then it was revealed to him that actually Pushkar lived in Mayathur also, and that the place where he was staying was non-different from Pushkar Tirtha, that the lake he was staying at was the Pushkar Tirtha Lake. So that place was visited by this devotee, who was a very old man. He was like 90-something. He went when he was a young boy with Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So he said, oh yes, I know that place. And he showed us the place. Like this, we found about eight places that are lupta tirthas, are hidden. So this is one of the places we found. We take our devotees here every year. We're the only parikrama who goes to these places because we're the only one who knows. So one or two, maybe others go now. But so, that's Pushkar Tirtha. I went to visit Pushkar because I wanted to see all the places that were connected with Mayanthur. And one of our devotees from South America, I don't know what came over, he just thought he'll swim across the Pushkar Lake. They said, it's a holy lake. He just did her ablution and come out. He swam across. He was attacked by the fish. And he came out all bloody. He didn't. So don't try to swim across Pushkar Tirtha. And that's why the Pushkar Tirtha doesn't have such big fish. But anyway, no one tried to swim across. So there was a... In Pushkar, they had a nice tradition. Pushkar, one place in Assam, and now in Mayapur. Here, maybe it would be good to do it too. It's a tradition that the pujaris, they lead the devotees through the different pujas. Like, fold your hands, take a flower, say, Om Namo, and then they lead you through, they offer the flower, bow down. So, I thought this was very useful because most people, I mean our devotees, how they pick out who's the devotee in Jagannath Puri, who's lying down, who's offering puja, oh, he must see ISKCON. Because the local Hindus, they don't know what to do. But ISKCON devotees are trained up, so there's, oh, check if he's a foreigner or not. Is he right? Is he bowed down? So, they don't know. So in Nayathur, we instituted this where we used to sell the prasada, the doorway. So that's why it's our reason that we sell the bhoga. And the people bring it to the Narasinghadev or to the deities, and they offer the bhoga. So sometimes the tour guides take them around, hold your folded hands, repeat after me, Hey Krishna, Karuna, Sindhu, Dina, Bandhu, Jyotati, bow down. So like that. They are led through the different activities, and they do it one after another. So, like, what to speak, that's in India, in Mayapur. I mean, here, how many people, I see people walk in. Maybe they get pranami, maybe they don't. They walk in, look around, walk out, you know. So, if there's someone who's like, okay, take a flower, alter it. Here, you ought to give any donation, give it. You'll probably make money in the, you'll pay the maintenance of it. Devotee, but in any case, that would guide the people through the different worships. So they need help. Anyway, we take the people to the nine islands. Madhyamdeep, it says, between these two rivers, so there's the land is known as Uchuhata, non-different from Kurukshetra. So what happened to us, which is most important in Kurukshetra, is the Bhagavad Gita was spoken by Lord Krishna. So, out there, when you go by the Uchuhata, this also was not known. I don't know if any of Vikramas go there, but this is another place we discovered because we found where these two rivers are and where is the land in between the two rivers. And then we found, so like that, we found the place of the Pandavas and Draupadi. We found the Surya Kunda Vrindavan, which is Arkatila. We found various places. We found the Arada Kunda. So, still a few places we didn't find. We didn't find the what's known as Vaikuntha Pur in Vajradhanji. Where is Vaikuntha? General idea we have, but exact location we don't know. Also, the place where Lord Ramchandra visited in the Vajradhanji. There used to be a tree there, a very big banyan tree. But there's no banyan trees anymore. So we don't know where exactly that. Like this, there's a few places that are still looped up. A few places we found, most of the places. Our frequent party doesn't go to, what's that place called? The far northern tip of the Navadvipam, which is said to also to include some holy place of Lord Balaram. But most of the places we visit, we also visit the used to be hidden place, which is called the the Lila Pakur and the tree which four Kumars which are the Lord Shiva revealed himself to Nila Ditya who became Nirvaka Acharya. So like this, we're looking for the holy places in Navadvipam. So you'd be surprised, although they're mentioned in Bhaktivinoda Thakur, they mentioned 500 years ago, they were shown by Nityananda Today they're not visible. So we are fortunate to find a son of the places. One of the places was in one country. This is mentioned by Jagannanda Pandit in his book, Prelavivarta. There he tells how Lord Chaitanya in his Sankirtan party, he was doing kirtan, and he was approached by one cowherd whose name was Gopal, and he said, "You are my brother, cousin brother." "So how am I your cousin brother?" Because Lord Chaitanya was around and the cowherd boy is Elisha. So I said, "Well, your mother, Sachi," he called my mother as her younger sister. "So that's why we're brothers. And she's inviting you, so please come and take some milk sweets." "Well, okay." So, if it's like that, then why not? So he took his kirtan party. On the way, they stopped. They saw one lake. In the lake, there was some cows, and they were making a big noise. "Oh, oh, oh." And Lord Chaitanya asked, "Why are they making the noise?" He said, "You see, there's a crocodile in the lake. And, you know, and if they see where the crocodile is, then they'll know if they're safe to drink the water or not. Otherwise, if the crocodile is right beneath the water, he'll jump out and eat them." So Lord Chaitanya, he told the kirtan party to start kirtan. So they did kirtan, and the crocodile rose to the surface. He started swimming towards the kirtan. He started climbing out the bank. He ran towards Lord Chaitanya. He touched his feet. He transformed into our divine, a celestial child. This was amazing. Amazing. What happened? So Lord Chaitanya asked, "Who are you?" So he told, "You see, I'm a resident of Indraloka." In Indraloka's time, he was 5 years old. So I was playing in the forest. And there was this Rishi. He was sleeping. So I was a naughty boy. I cut off his hair. I didn't know he was the Vasa Muni. When he woke up, his head was very light. He said, "Who cut off my jata, my hair?" "I cursed him to become a crocodile. He's like cutting, he can become a crocodile." Then I came out, no, "I'm sorry. I didn't mean it. I'm just a playful kid. I didn't know. I don't want to be a crocodile. Please take back your curse." He said, "No, I cannot take that. But since you're just a child and you're repentant, I'll give you an escape clause. You'll be a crocodile until the Kali Yuga, and Lord Chaitanya comes. If it touches lotus feet, you'll become free from the curse." So I was waiting here for yugas, for you to come. And finally you came. I got your lotus feet. He was circumcised 4 times. Meanwhile, his parents came from Indraloka. Father. Grabbed my ear or something. "You naughty boy, what are you doing getting out of this trouble? Come back home." So I took him back in the plane. So he got the darshan of Lord Chaitanya. So Jagadananda Pandit was there. He learned all this. It's like one day in the Sankirtan. This happens to you in Hollywood? Or you go to the Harinam? Sometimes. Anyway, probably some people dance. We had some pastime where last week was the Mardi Gras. So when you go and hide out in the Mardi Gras, there's River Street, which is like Sindhu Street. We signed Tahoe's, Flawless. I don't know where it is, so I don't know what. We did hide out on the street in front. Across from us, the Christians with big placards. Turn or burn. And they're walking. The angry face. I don't have too much expression right now, but we go like Kirtan. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama, Rama, Hare Hare. So, one guy was selling roses. He saw the kirtan thani. He said, throwing flower petals at the rose petals at the kirtaniya's feet. And some drunken ladies start dancing with the kirtan. This kind of pastime we had. We never saw anyone from Indaloka. One of our book sisters, one time, he met a man who was bearded. And he said, well, I don't know. He wanted to sell Bhagavad Gita to the gentleman. He said, well, I like the Gita. I like to get it, but I don't carry it around all day. So if you can deliver it to my hotel tonight, he gave his card. He wrote the hotel name on the back. So she wrote the card. Steven Spielberg, film producer. Are you the Steven Spielberg? Yeah. I have this CD and so the CD and this is one of my media, so the Bhagavad Gita CD. But this kind of pastime we have, we don't need interlocal, but maybe Steven Spielberg in this. Anyway, Lord Chaitanya, back to the story. He then went on, and he met this lady who was accepted as the younger sister of his mother, and she gave him rasagula, cham cham, sandesh, ravi, barfi, etc., etc. All varieties of milk sweets. Haridwar, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki. This was one pastime. I told that Sri Dharmadhar told Jagannatha Pandit, you can't write all this stuff. This is all confidential. He said, listen, it's my book. I'll write what I want to write. What I'm writing all happened. It's true. If you don't like it, you write your own book. But I'm going to write what I want to write. So, because Jagannatha Pandit was Satya Dharma, who reincarnated as a Jagannatha Pandit to join in Lord Chaitanya's kirtan, lilas. So some of these pastimes we don't get anywhere else. We get in the Prema Vivarta. So we have the choice. We can join with the lilas of Lord Chaitanya of Krishna, or we can stay here in the material world, thinking that we'll be happy. You heard the verse today. We'll try to be happy. We'll try and try and try. And sometimes Maya will give us a little bit of happiness, and she gives us a lot of kicks. So what do we want? We want eternal happiness, or we want to be kicked the night? We got the choice. free will. So the devotees, they want to fight against the attractions of Maya, and they want to remain Krishna conscious. As some devotees are feel stronger as grihasthas, as some feel stronger as brahmacharis or sannyasis, whatever position one feels stronger, but all we have the same purpose, how to become Krishna conscious, how to resist Maya. So this is the goal of our life. Sometimes we're happy in the material world, sometimes we're suffering. We know this is the material life. This is not our permanent place. We don't want to stay here forever. So in other yugas, it takes a long time to go back to Godhead. But by the Lord Chaitanya's mercy, we can go back very quickly in one lifetime in this Kali Yuga. That is the special blessing of Lord Chaitanya. So who wants Lord Chaitanya's blessing? Anyone here wants? Who would like to stay again and again and be kicked the night? No volunteers. Sometimes we may take birth in the immature world to participate in the pastimes of the Lord or to do some service. Like that, some were saying, who knows what planet Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur is on or what planet Prabhupada is on. They could go back to Goloka, or if they want, they could be teaching somewhere in the universe. Like Bhakti Siddhanta looking at the moon, I told this one time, and he said, in the moon they have become materialistic. We need to go to the moon and preach. So, who knows what universe or what part of the universe they are preaching. Somehow, Janma Krishna Maharaj got taken right back. And someone saw a dream where he saw Prabhupada taking him. So maybe he had to join Prabhupada for some preaching mission, who knows. Or maybe he's in Goloka Vrindavan. We don't know what. But the devotees, they're prepared. Many of them are prepared to go wherever Prabhupada goes, wherever the preaching leads them. But we don't want to take birth as a conditioned soul. We don't want to take birth, separate from the activities of Krishna. We want to be born to serve Krishna, to serve Guru. That's our goal. So, we're very thankful for all of you for serving Krishna in this lifetime. And I'm sure that you'll all like to serve eternally. Some want to serve, and they'll go back to the they'll go to the universe where Krishna's lilas are being performed, or Lord Chaitanya's lilas, and they'll participate in those pastimes and go back to Goloka Vrindavan. That's usually what happens. Some they go to Vaikuntha. Some, if they like to, they're not yet fixed up, at least they go to the heavenly planets. But most of the acharyas, they pray that they can be born in the family of devotees. Because if you go to the heavenly planets, like this, our golden age of Lord Chaitanya in this universe is only 10,000 years. And life on the heavenly planets is like 50,000, 100,000 or more years, depending on which planet you go to. So by the time your life is older, it'll be the darkest time of Kali Yuga. So who wants? That's why the devotees pray to the deities. If I take birth, I want to be born as your devotee. I want to take birth right away. So that's why we need a very good fixed up our grihasthas. So there's some skill for us to take birth in a family of devotees. Only the grihasthas can legitimately have children. Not all have, but they try to have. Some have. Some, most have. So this is an important service so that we can get, if we're not able to get back to Godhead in this lifetime, we can at least get the chance of taking that as a devotee. This was interesting that I was talking to one bhakta in England, and he had taken the regression. In his previous life, he was a butterfly. Now, how do you come from a butterfly to a human is quite a big jump. So I'd say a butterfly, he flew in this kind of a domed house, and there were some statues there, and in front of the statues there was a fruit plate. So as a butterfly, he loved fruit. So he went and landed on the fruit, and some guy without a shirt on, he came out, whack it. And that was all he remembered. And he was born in Hillen. So because he was a butterfly, he must have eaten the prasad of some deity. And, or maybe he didn't eat the prasad that he landed on or something. It wasn't clear. If he ate it, then he could go back to God. But somehow, anyway, he died in front of the deity. He took birth as a human. And he, after that regression, he became a devotee. He realized that Krishna's mercy is so powerful. So it's amazing how different people become devotees. And so, Arjuna, Rava said here, in this third part, I'll finish here, is to give people association. To give them association so that they can get back to Godhead. Even a moment's association with devotees can make all the difference. There's one guy we were working. His name is Steve. He used to work a few blocks from here down the street at some gas station. So when he was a kid, now he's like a grandfather, like he's like 50s or so. So he said he used to meet the devotees. They used to come by and fill up their car with gas. And so they give them cookies and prasad and invite them to the temple. And he came here one time, I think. So, but then he wanted to come. He was told that all the devotees had become Scientologists. And there are no more devotees left. But he saw me, he realized that it was not true. There are still devotees left. So, he got some prasad from Lord Kitha one day, and he regularly talked to the devotees, and he looked on the internet and found out some things. So, since then, he's become quite favorable, and he knows the name, the secret names. We all have names, sinful names for the place we're working, like Achyutananda Das is Krishna Das. Sinful, so that's all they can remember. But he knows, you're Achyuta, you're in hell, you'll never fall down. Like this. So somehow, like this little association they're getting with the devotees, that changed. Also, one guy, he got Alzheimer's or something, he forgets. But somehow the devotees have trained him not to say, Hare Krishna, hi. So he says, Hare Krishna, everyone. So some lady says, he doesn't remember anything, he just repeats. So if he may repeat to somebody, Hare Krishna, they'll be offended. I said, oh yeah. We're real concerned about that, you know. Okay. Of course, we don't mind if he goes to sing Hare Krishna. But like this, somehow, our being there is having an effect on these people who are otherwise unique people. So I'm sure that, like, this is a place I went to give a class. It was at the our universalist, what's it called? The, No, the Universalist Unitarian Church. The father there, I said, he was a classmate of Vigaswati. So he always was praising Vigaswati. So I told Vigaswati he could have some of his books there because they sell all kinds of books they have there. But anyway, like that, a moment's association with his devotee, they never forget. So he still said, now he knows the name as Vigavati, but he remembers that they studied together. So like that, if we're friendly to people, if they're open to people, we give them some association, they'll be very much changed by that. You see, propaganda. As it, we're all pretty crazy. But when they talk to us, they realize that we're not crazy. We're reasonable people. So you have a big effect because we have a different way of seeing things. We see things from the eyes of the Bhagavatam. We see this material world as not our shelter. Where most people see the material world, that's all they see, that's all they know. So it's important that devotees associate, mix with the people, and this way they make friends with the people, and they can change, either a moment's association with a devotee can change them. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any comments or questions? Vigavati. Right behind you.
On this point of a little association with devotees and how people can change, when I was in Sydney, Australia, there was one man, he was a paraplegic, and he used to sit in a wheelchair and had, you know, give people like pens or pencils and try to get a donation. Anyway, he was sitting on in front of a department store, which happened to be a very good Sankirtan spot. The devotees used to go down there to distribute books. So when he would see the devotees, we would try to avoid him, you know, be as far away from him as possible. But as soon as he would see the devotees, and inevitably he would start chanting, Hare Krishna, ripping them off, wake up, Sydney, like that. And he would chant it, like, continuously.
Oh, he said Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna, ripping them off, wake up, Sydney. So that was his chant, that was his mantra, and that would go on for as long as we were there. We'd have to practically leave the spot, you know, and whenever we went down there, you know, because it was a good spot, but as soon as he started chanting that, we had to stop and go away. Anyway, then things changed in Australia for different reasons, and we stopped doing Sankirtan on the street, and we started doing paraphernalia for like a few years. And then I went down there after maybe 3 or 4 years, and I was distributing. I figured this guy, he must have passed away by now or something, you know. But we went down there, we started distributing, and sure enough, he was there, and he saw us, and he chanted, Hare Krishna, saving the world. Wake up, Sydney.
Hare Krishna.
He had a change of heart. I guess he missed it. I don't know. You can give the purport. He had a change of heart or something. He got purified by the holy name or both. But that's what he was chanting when we went back down.
Any other leaders? These are the present day pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. Sankirtan movement. Siddhanti?
Kirtan party. I had just gotten out of college, graduated college, and I was downtown, and I saw Mohanananda and the devotees doing Harinama, and I thought that was very strange and very critical of it, not knowing what it was all about. But somehow or another, by Prabhupada's mercy, I got a BTG maybe a year or two later in Dallas and actually read the philosophy and realized that there was something very significant behind the devotees chanting and the whole movement. So if a demon like me can have a change of heart, I'm sure anyone can.
Hello. Anyone else? Kathy? Salas?
Well, I can say something about the power of prasadam.
That just about that time.
We used to distribute in the airport in Denver, Colorado.
I remember this one.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Well, I hope it's...
Tell the, again.
I hope it's that one. But there was a policeman there who hated us. He was actually very demoniac. And in the 70s, we used to call policemen pigs. And he actually looked like one. He was big, fat, very mean, and he would throw us in jail. I was thrown in jail by him personally 3 times, and he would just make it a point to just harass us mercilessly. And then what happened was that the devotees started making this candy bar. Yeah, I forget what they called it. It was some kind of candy bar.
Bliss bar, I think.
Bliss bar, that's right, right. It was a bliss bar.
So Lil Barzana.
Yeah. And we noticed one time that he would sit in a booth, and somehow or other, it was just inconceivable, he would have a bliss bar. And he had a bliss bar every day. And this went on for about 6 months, and we just like looked at it and we just marveled at how he ate that bliss bar all the time. And eventually he came to the point where he was going to retire, and he came up to us, especially I remember he came up to me, and he apologized. He told me, "I'm sorry for harassing you all these years. I don't know what got into me. I just realized that, you know, you're not doing anything harming anyone, and I want to apologize. I'm retiring from the police force, and I wanted to say goodbye, and I apologize, and I hope you guys keep up the good work." And this is a true story, Denver, Colorado. And it was phenomenal because this person was extremely demoniac. And he would throw us, I can't even explain it. He would break up sales. He would curse at us. He would just do anything he could do to just stop the book distribution. And by eating a bliss bar on a daily basis, he became purified.
The first time you told me was also about bliss bars. You go to the airport and oversee the Sankirtan devotees. And one day, one person took the Bhagavad Gita and threw it down or something. Or he was, like, very heavy on this lady, book distributor. So he went over and said, "Sir, what's the matter?" And he said, "You people, this is all false stuff. Why are you giving this stuff?" And he pulled out a lucifer. He said, "This is the real thing. This is the real thing. This, you see, look at figs and dates and cherry and whatever, you know, you read out the ingredients. This is real stuff. So this is," he said, "Sir, you know who makes this?" "Well," it said here, "Nul Barsana Lisva." He said, "That's us. We make this food." "Oh, you make it." "Well, then you can't yell that. Okay, if you make this, then you're a good people, okay." So he ended up taking out the book and taking it. So that he's always on test stand like that. I don't know. Over the years, I know I mixed it up a little bit. Something like that, you notice something like that happening? Maybe you could refresh my memory. Or if I told it wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. You got another one?
Yeah, I do have another one. And this is also a pretty amazing story. This happened in 1975, that I was in the Atlanta airport distributing books, and I met Cher and Greg Allman from the Allman Band. And at that time, they were walking on a concourse, so I stopped him, and he bought like 10 books. And talked to him for a long time, and we bought him a bag. We put all the books in the bag, and then this was about like 1975. So we spent a long time with him, maybe a couple of hours. And about 5 years ago, maybe a little bit longer, a person came up to the gift shop here in Govinda's, right here in Los Angeles. And they wanted to buy some neck beads and bead bag and you know, just paraphernalia. And one of the devotee girls noticed that his last name was Allman. So they asked him where who he was, and he was the son of Greg Allman and Cher. So, and it was amazing because I think he was born in like 1975. So it was pretty incredible. He didn't. So I met him, and I told him that I gave his mother and father a book in the airport at that time. And he couldn't really understand why he was attracted to Krishna consciousness. But, you know, it might be something said about him getting the mercy of his father and mother buying books in the airport and him coming to the temple. And even today he comes to the temple after all these years. So, there is some mysticism in Krishna consciousness.
Hello. Riyadhati.
A Latino Hispanic neighbor, we went into a barber shop. And so I approached this man. He's short, but kind of, you know, very stocky, big, you know, and probably about five or 10 years younger than me. So I handed him The Science of Self-Realization in Spanish, and I had it open to a picture, and I usually ask the people to read the caption. So this man, he grabbed it out of my hand, and he starts reading. He was like a natural-born, like, preacher almost. You know, he's like one of these guys you'd expect to see on a street corner with the Bible, you know, like that. But he was good. He was good. So he starts reading it, and I thought, oh, I'm in trouble. I thought he was going to make fun of me and really give me a hard time. But he starts reading it out loud to these other fellows who were working in the barbershop. And then after he reads it, he starts preaching in Spanish, so I really didn't understand. But there was another devotee with me, Gusto, so I had him, you know, afterwards, he translated for me. What had happened was this. He got a Bhagavad Gita when he was living in Mexico, and he liked it so much, he said, this is what Gusto told me, he locked himself in his house for a year, and he was studying the Bhagavad Gita. Yeah. And he was preaching to these other fellows who were born-again Christians in the barbershop, and they were coming back with these, you know, their arguments, and he was defeating them. And, like, you know, he was just, like, preaching Krishna consciousness to them. And according to Gusto, everything he said was exactly according to the Bhagavad Gita. So, meantime, while he was, you know, preaching and to these other people in the barbershop, there was a, you know, young guy standing next to me in the chair. And he's going, he understood Spanish and he spoke English also. He says, so could I, you know, what, can I check, have a look at that book? So I hand him the Bhagavad Gita. And he starts looking through, and he says, so, you know, can I, is this your book? Can I get one of these books? And I said, yeah, you can just can have this one. We just ask people to give a donation. So he gave a nice donation. He took the Bhagavad Gita. And then afterwards, when this fellow finished preaching to everybody, he took that Science of Self-Realization, and the boss of the barbershop took one, and they both gave donations. And then I went and I invited him to the temple. I hope he comes, because it was amazing the way he was, with the enthusiasm and the energy that he was preaching to these other people in the barbershop about Krishna consciousness, you know, because he'd locked himself in his house for a year and read Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita.
Hello, hello. So stay tuned. LA Live, Sankirtan. Key. I better stop here. Oh, what's up?